My name is Ted Lee. I'm the editor-in-chief. Along with Jeff Frankel, the managing editor, we will be bringing you subject matter experts on hot topics, EMS-related news, and all things pre-hospital medicine. Today, we have a very special group, very special guest from Mind the Frontline, Chris Samita, president, CEO, and founder.
Hey, Ted, thank you very much for having me on today. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure having you as well. Thank you. Just to give our audience a little bit of background about who you are, why don't you kind of run through some of your background?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure to be on the GEMS podcast. And, you know, my name is Chris Smetana. I've been doing public safety for over 23 years now. I've worked in various capabilities. I started out as a lifeguard all the way back in middle school. And that's kind of where I got my start after my first save. You know, I saw the fire department come over and do their thing. And I was like, wow, I want to be one of these heroes. So I ended up going through the Fire Science Academy my senior year in high school, got my Fire 1 and 2, my Hazmat Ops, my EMT Basic, and that kind of propelled me to get into medic school. I completed medic school back in 2005, and from there, I accepted a position with the Department of Defense as a contractor, working mainly with diplomatic security services and doing some overseas tactical medic stuff. About 4 years I did that, and then moved down to Tucson with my wife so she could complete her cardiopulmonary perfusion degree, and I ended up starting working fire. So I was a firefighter, paramedic, became an engineer, paramedic, and then I kind of got the critical care bug. And that was all thanks to Will Wingfield. Watched one of his episodes, and I got drawn to understanding medicine in a more in-depth, just so I could be more clinically confident in the back of the ambulance. There's always those questions I always had, or I would doubt myself. And I think I'm sure a lot of the viewers and listeners could kind of relate to that. So with that, I ended up achieving my FPC. I accepted a position with Guardian Air Transport out of Flagstaff, working on adults, neonatal, high-risk OB. I kind of was the jack of all trades, you know, just like many of us are in public service. But I did that for about 15 years as a flight paramedic. I worked for various services. And then in 2017, I founded a company online after a back injury called IA Med. It is now referred to as Impact EMS. I sold that company about 2 years ago after bringing it up to kind of where I wanted it to. And it was mainly focused on critical care education and kind of breaking down the why behind a lot of things. And then we kind of dabbled into, you know, refreshers for EMTs, CFRNs, things like that. And, you know, for a long time, we were known as kind of one of the leading test prep authorities. And, you know, I got to publish a couple of books along with that. So the Flight Medical Provider Guide, there was the Air Crew Operations and Safety, Mechanical Circulatory Assist Device for all you balloon pump, ECMO, LVAD, RVAD folks out there. So we created some really high quality content. And that was kind of my thing. And my drive was to kind of change the education industry. And it was because a lot of the companies that I worked for just didn't have a lot of good, high quality education, at least to me. So I wanted to change the way that we delivered it, we engage people, and really kind of create a community behind that, which kind of lended to a culture. After selling that company in November of 2021, I ended up moving on to Mind the Frontline. And that's where I've kind of invested my time and my resources, because in 2021, I did have a sentinel mental health injury. And with that, I had an experience that I just, I couldn't believe. I really didn't believe, you know, I could experience something like this. And it's a common thread I've heard from a lot of first responders. And that drove my passion to now bring the awareness, create a community and culture around that, around first responders looking for not only mental health and wellness resiliency tools, but also educating them, providing crisis support and just ways to connect. And so that is my current passion. And I'm really loving how we're growing. We're still a new startup 501c3 nonprofit, but we are certified by the IRS as a nonprofit. And just watching that grow, our community of over 30 volunteers now from just a short time ago, and you're seeing ourselves become more and more engaged in our community through retreats, memorial runs, education with our membership, things like that.
Wow, that's quite a background, and thank you for your service over those years. So getting back to Mind the Frontline, and you touched a little bit about this. So What exactly is Mind the Frontline, and what are you hoping to accomplish through this?
No, that's a great question, Ted. So Mind the Frontline was founded in early 2023. It is a 501c nonprofit. It is focused around the mental health and wellness for first responders. And that's not just, you know, fire, EMS. We're talking about dispatchers, lifeguards, corrections, animal control officers, law enforcement, nurses, physicians, anyone who is in service, as I would call it, to the public safety realm and EMS, you know, first responder medicine. It really speaks to them. The kind of four pillars that we do have here at Mind the Frontline are, first and foremost, kind of bringing those lines together. We know there's a lot going on in each individual service, you know, EMS, dispatchers, things like that. But what we're not seeing is the cohesiveness of bringing those families and the power of unity together. So getting them connected through outdoor events, you know, pop-ups, you know, bowling night, movie night, you know, anything that we can do to support getting people together and not isolated. Because we do show a lot of people that might be going through a mental health injury or struggling in silence, and we don't want that to be the case. So educating them on, you know, how to select a therapist, what are some signs and symptoms, how do I talk to someone who just approached me and tells me that they want to, you know, maybe hurt themselves or have suicidal ideations. Some of these conversations are kind of being had. They're just not being done in a way that I feel like is all inclusive. And so we're trying to bring that diversity and inclusion together of all these different industries. We have volunteers that spread the entire gamut, and we have state ambassadors that work in each state to A, help advocate for us, B, educate the local first responder communities, and really just kind of give them the tools and the resources, you know, that they need to hopefully be resilient. But if they're not resilient, and we know that does happen from time to time, we kind of get in a crisis mode. So we set up a 24/7 debrief hotline. That number is 866-MIND-24/7. And it's staffed by peer support responders that really allow you the opportunity to kind of vent and not take some of this stuff home. You know, we want to be able to support and give that anonymity and that certain layer. We know there's a lot of agencies out there that do offer peer support, but, you know, sometimes, you know, in a lot of studies that Joe shows, they're still reluctant to reach out, and we want them to reach out. We want them to ask for help, because if they don't, we see what the statistics are saying. And they're continuing to grow and run away from us year after year as far as first responder suicides. And we really want to make an impact there. So if they are in crisis or just want to talk, more importantly, and allow this stuff to get out of their chest, off their, you know, we talk about the backpack. A lot of people mention that analogy. We just want to give them that opportunity to kind of unload their backpack, so they're not having to take it on the next call. They're not having to take it back in the station. And more importantly, they're not having to take it home to their families after they get off shift. And if they are in crisis, we are developing a Mind the Frontline EAP program right now for the agencies out there. But more importantly, we're working on innovative ideas and solutions, really, that are outside the box thinking. We're incorporating, you know, things from AA and all these other different lines that we feel like are good, and we can use those tools of resiliency and messaging in our own communities. And then if they are in crisis, you know, our crisis support team that we are building right now in partnership with Tanya Glenn Associates out of Austin, Texas, really is going to be the next step. And I really don't want to disclose what we're doing there. It's kind of proprietary, but I will tell you it is coming live coming June, and it hopefully will be another tool for agencies and individuals to really just kind of get the help and support that they need. I know for a fact, you know, when you look at a lot of the people that we talk, when they talk or they call us in via our peer support hotline, almost 95% of them, Ted, do not have a therapist, have never seen a therapist. And that's kind of frightening to me. The other side of that is sometimes if you're in crisis, it could take up to 4 to 8 weeks to find a counselor and get an appointment, just to find out that, hey, maybe this isn't a good fit, or maybe they're not culturally competent. And that's what I want to stress. Mind the Frontline is run by first responders. You know, they are people who have walked the walk. They have lived that life and been of service. They may not be in the same industry that you might be in, that you, when you call and talk to them, but they understand, more importantly. And then we want to give them the tools of resiliency to continue on. And I really speak about mental health, just like when we talk about physical fitness, it is something that we need to do on a daily routine. And if people can get into a small daily routine, that's what we offer with our membership benefits is basically podcasts, videos, peer support training, peer support continuing education, which there's nothing out there for continuing education for peer support teams. So we are trying to lead the way and innovate and take what I learned with IAMED, but really bring it into the mental health space to provide the relief and hopefully for once see the statistics start trending the other way.
Wow, that's quite a bit that you've got going on, but you know it's desperately needed, you know, in the professions for sure. So you mentioned the hotline number, but how else would somebody, you know, just start to find, you know, Mind the Frontline or what the resources are available?
That's a good question, Ted. You know, if you want to find out more about Mind the Frontline, or you're just looking for resources, because, you know, more than likely, if you're looking for resources, you're going to do exactly what I did. Go to Google, see what pops up in your state. They may be vetted. They may not be vetted. It's really hard to tell. So that was one of our pillars, is creating the largest online database for first responder mental health and wellness. And it is even broken down by national level, by the individual industries, so fire, EMS, dispatchers, air medical, hospitals, but we also have state-by-state resources. So you can click on a state coming here May 1st when we go live with that, and you will see all the available resources in your state that have been either crowdsourced and submitted, or they have been vetted by our own peer support team. So you know that the resources that you are clicking on or being directed to are really going to find those resources for you. And that's free access for everybody. And you can go to www.mindthefrontline.org and get those state-by-state resources, those national resources. We also have blogs, podcasts, and videos on there as well. They're all open access. You know, we have a members portal. The member portal provides a little bit more as far as books, you know, therapists, all these other things and tools and resources to really help you take charge of your own life, but more importantly, value your mental health and prioritize that just like you would with physical fitness, just like you would with diet and sleep. You know, it is a key component of your well-being.
Yes, very much so. And that's a pretty good and, you know, refreshing item that, you know, there is free stuff as well as, you know, the members portal. So you said that this was a 501c. So do you take donations? Do you take volunteers? Those type of things?
Yeah, we are always looking for state ambassadors to help us out with our message, going out to agencies, letting them know that we, A, the resources that we can help provide, B, just understanding what events might be going on within that state that circle around mental health and wellness, so we can get them on our website and allow other people, because, you know, there might be something really good going down in Florida, but if you don't live in Florida, you might not find out about that. And so we want to be able to get the message out there as well as we can. We do take donations. Obviously, donations help fund our peer support. For example, you know, as we have someone in crisis, we typically cover their visits until we can get them in locally. And if they don't have the funds, then we do assume that liability and we do pay for that. So your donations go not only to supporting the initiatives that we have, the state-by-state resources, but they go directly back to first responder initiatives to provide these community events and pop-ups, to provide therapy and online counseling as they become available. And more importantly, if you do get a membership, the benefit of being a nonprofit is it is completely 100% tax deductible, and it's only $50 per year. And really, you know, that's cheaper than a car wash membership, your Netflix membership, and all of those combined. So, you know, it really is a hard to beat to get those levels of resources where you get weekly blogs, you know, emails, things like that, to really just inspire you to stay, you know, present, take care of yourself first, because, you know, I've heard it time and time again, I was one of these first responders. I took care of everyone except for myself. And so we give you these tools to help you so you can continue doing this job for 20, 30, you know, plus years. We don't want to have that burnout occur within 5 to 10 years, because these are individuals and good providers that we're losing from our industry and they're not coming back. So how do we keep people in the job? How do we keep them healthy? You know, and it's just like I told the fire chief, you know, it, just like you have physical fitness requirements, you absolutely need to have mental health and wellness requirements as well.
Yeah. And you know, the $50 a year, I mean, that's cheaper than a gym membership. As well. And to your point, you know, your mental health is just as important as your physical health. So I can see this as being, you know, very valuable. You know, being in I was a paramedic since 97, an EMT since 93. I mean, you've been in long enough, you see long enough, and you see people come and go. And you almost, you know, you watch these individuals struggle with stuff and you try to help them out the best you can. But, you know, so many of us were unprepared for what we were walking into. And then you see them spiral out of control and you're like, okay, I know exactly. They might not have left the profession yet, but you know the point that is pushing them out of the profession. You know, you see it in them. You know, just the way they treat each other, you know, the way they treat their families, the way they treat patients. You know it's coming. It's just a matter of time before they leave. So, and it's very unfortunate for us, especially in a time when we need providers so desperately. You know, the retention of providers becomes extremely important. This is, you know, one big aspect of it.
And that's what we're hoping to help, you know, agencies with our agency solutions, is really invest in the mental health and wellness of your employees so you can get that longevity. We are struggling with recruitment, retention, and oftentimes, like you mentioned, we didn't know what we didn't know. So by educating our general public and the first responders, because oftentimes the general public doesn't understand. They kind of associate, common PTSD with the general public, whether it be assault, you know, things like that of those natures, with the type of PTSD that these first responders go to. And they are markedly different. You know, it's like saying, hey, I'm going to be in combat every day for my entire career for 20 plus years, you know, 10 years. But you're seeing that trauma, you're seeing the stress, you know, the burnout that comes with that day in and day out. So why not invest in your employees? Why not invest in yourself, more importantly? And the cool thing is it arms you with that knowledge of, hey, okay, so I look at this individual, and like you mentioned, Ted, you see those signs, right? You see those very clear harm mark signs, but sometimes you have to been in the industry for a while in order to recognize some of those signs. And yeah, I'm hoping that we can educate our newer generation, even to the EMT students, paramedic students, the new law enforcement recruits coming out with these, these signs, so they can be more aware. And then more importantly, how do I deal with that? How do I approach this individual? Because oftentimes what we can tell you now is, more and often, you know, they may seem abrasive, they may seem aggressive, they may have a drinking problem or a substance abuse issue, but oftentimes it's because of the pain and the struggles that they're facing, and that's how it manifests itself. And so being able to have these normal conversations, break down some barriers, and more importantly, just make awareness, you know, allowing people to understand and recognize those signs, and then more importantly, how to act upon them, you know, hopefully will make a difference along with some of our other initiatives.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, from a, you know, a partner standpoint or a crew standpoint, you know, when you work 24, 48s or, you know, sometimes longer shifts, I mean, we're the ones that see them the most, and we're the ones that are going to notice these subtle changes, you know, before they become big issues. And, you know, that's always been something that was a disappointment for me, that, you know, we didn't take care of each other more than we did at that time. So it was always one of those things, well, if you're not tough enough for this job, you're not tough enough for the job, you need to leave. And we lost some really good people.
Yeah, I think what we forget is we're human too. You know, yeah, and the human psyche was not meant to take this type of toll or stress. We found out a lot about that during the pandemic. And so, you know, it's right. You know, I think there's a lot of people out there that can relate to what we just talked about, Ted, and say, hey, I see the signs and symptoms, or I'm not 100% sure, but I'm more importantly, like, I don't know where to find the resources to, you know, find the education to understand and recognize these signs, or even have these tough conversations. And they're really not that tough. It's just, they don't have the tools necessarily to instigate them, right? So hopefully arming them with tools, arming them with knowledge, we can actually make a difference.
Yeah, I think the knowledge is the biggest point, because, you know, things that I've seen in my career, and personally things that, you know, I've gone through, just when you start to experience it, the thing that always bothered me the most was, you know, not knowing. I'm like, I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't understand it. And then, you know, struggling to find, oh, okay, I know what this is. This is what's going on. And then you started to be able to deal with it. It was that unknowing, that kind of unsure environment that, you know, one, kind of scares you. You don't really know why you're like that. And you just kind of get in that, you know, that, I don't know, that drain, you know, you're spiraling down. You don't know what to do. You don't know why you feel this way. And then you just continue to do it. So I think the great part about Mind the Frontline is the education aspect and, you know, the beginning of it. These are the symptoms. This is what you're going through. And, you know, to for us as a profession, to bring this up to your point, you know, this is the human aspect of it. You're normal. This is normal. You know, humans should not feel nothing when you see what we see. Now, we can't have you curled up in the fetal position crying in the ambulance. We need you to do your job. But at the same time, that leaves a mark. And we have to realize, you know, as a profession that, you know, we struggle with things almost every day.
Yeah. And then you throw on life stressors on top of that, financial struggles, marital stressors, you know, that could be caused just from the trauma and some of the things that they're seeing. And so, you know, and to your point of circling the drain, you know, some people might be aware, some people might question themselves like, you know, is this normal? Am I feeling this way? Is this can be expected? And so when you talk to another first line, first responder that understands and says, yes, and we normalize it for you, we say, no, this is completely normal. Like I would expect these feelings and struggles to occur following, you know, a traumatic injury or a moral injury. You know, those are things that we want to make these individuals aware of and provide them with the knowledge and education behind that. But more importantly, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, may not even see the signs in themselves. They might be kind of what I call is you're in the fog, you're lost in the sauce. And so you think you're just fine, but those around you, more importantly, those that you go to work with every day, they can usually pick up on these things. They can see these changes. And so how do we make someone else aware that isn't aware? And so once again, it's how to have these hard conversations, how to find the resources that you can now direct your partner to. Like, hey, I just read this awesome blog on, you know, dealing with stress or dealing with burnout or how to sleep better if that's an issue. There's so much resources that we provide on the website at mindthefrontline.org that, you know, hopefully, and we're continue to grow. So as we get member submissions, volunteers that come on board, we get new ideas and we try to tailor that to the first responder community. But you know, we got to be doing something. And I think there's a little bit more we can do than being reactive. I think being proactive allows us a better opportunity of being reactive, and we can be reactive even quicker. And on top of that, you know, like you said, we're keeping these individuals, these first responders, you know, coming back. They're showing up for their shift the next day. And if they are armed with mental resilience and health and good coping techniques, things like that, we're going to see a lot more out of them. They're going to feel more fulfilled. And so hopefully we can get buy-in by obviously changing the culture of the way we've done things in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a great service. So as we're wrapping up, you know, do you have a final message for our listeners?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I would love to take the moment to announce that Mind the Frontline has officially to process webinars. You do want to find out more about mindthefrontline.org, but we really do hope to broaden our message, get more people involved in this community, and really kind of champion everybody and give them the power, empowering them to help make positive, impactful change amongst their first responder community.
That's great. Although, Chris, I had some technical issues and I missed part of your speech. I got to all of, if you want to find out more about Mind the Frontline, at mindthefrontline.org. So I'm sorry if you wouldn't mind repeating yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you able to catch the part about our partnership?
No, that was kind of fuzzy.
Gotcha. No, I just want to announce to everybody, you know, Mind the Frontline and GEMS, the Journal of Emergency Services, have entered into a formal partnership to help continue to provide these resources to the frontline, you know, EMS community. We'll be helping to provide webinars, podcasts like these, blogs, all surrounded around your mental health and wellness, how to look for some of these opportunities, all get empowered to make some impactful change.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And we're excited about this too. We think that here at GEMS, that the mental health aspect is just as important, you know, as the patient care aspect. And we're looking for partners, you know, that are bringing, you know, current issues to light in the field of pre-hospital medicine. And this partnership with Mind the Frontline, we're very much looking forward to. And we want to thank you very much, you know, for joining us. We think it's an important mission, and getting the word out to help first responders is key.
Well, Ted, I can't thank you, Clarion Events, and Jim's more importantly, for giving us the opportunity to, you know, get that message out, provide that good, solid education and good resources for, frontline first responders to follow up on, you know, and having these conversations, you know, it shows that Jim's is, you know, very much involved in the EMS community. They do care about not only the clinical aspect or the physical aspect, but more importantly, now as we're seeing more and more of this come to light, the mental health and wellness aspect. And so, you know, we couldn't be more thrilled. We're really looking forward to broadening the community, continuing to have these conversations, and more importantly, just normalizing the human aspect of first responders, especially emergency medical workers.
Yep, we're in for the long haul, and we think this is important. So thank you again for spending some time with us today, and we look forward to the blogs, the podcasts, and the webinars coming from Mind the Frontline.
Thank you so much for having me, Ted. You have a great day and stay safe out there.
You too. Thank you.